Is anyone happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right, well, a little bit. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the third chapter, Genesis 3. Most of us know the story of Adam and Eve fairly well. In Genesis 3, starting at verse 8, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, to open our ears, open our eyes, open our spirits to what your word has to tell us, that your word would surely become a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, that your word would be what we hide in our heart, that, Lord, we wouldn't sin against you, but that, Lord, that we would be on that straight and narrow path that you have chosen for us. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, I titled my message this morning, Where Are You? You can ask yourself this morning, where am I? When God looked down and he came down and he was going to converse with Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, they were afraid of God all of a sudden. Now, they had been talking with God all this time they were in the garden. Now, how long that was, I don't know. You know, it could have been a year, it could have been 10 years, it could have been 20 or 30 or 100 or 1,000. We don't know. You know, we get this idea that it was somehow the next day, but we don't know how long it was. We do know that God used to talk to Adam and Eve face to face because Adam recognized when God came. He says, I heard you coming, Lord. And God called out to him. He says, Adam, where are you? He asks us the same thing today. Where are you? But the truth of the matter is, he wasn't asking Adam where his physical spot was. How many of you believe Adam? God knew exactly where Adam was, both spiritually and physically. But he wasn't asking Adam where his physical presence was. He was asking Adam, where is your spiritual place now? Do you recognize what you have done? Do you recognize what you have lost? And Adam just simply said, God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of you now. Oh, what a loss that had to be for Adam and Eve. To be so easily and all the time in God's presence, to suddenly lose that. Oh, man, that has to be a heartache. And God, he was just asking him, do you really know where you are? Do you really understand what you have lost? But see, Adam didn't really understand. There were things that Adam had no clue of because he'd never seen or experienced experienced what was going on. He was created holy. He was created where he could walk right up to God and get a bear hug. And God just talked to him as his friend. But then sin came in and it cut that off. And what a loss that had to be, because if you could just grasp the importance of the wording in the Hebrew, it is so deep. And I know that our words don't relate the same thing, but I just want to share a couple of them with you. In the Hebrew, the word hid is the word chava. And it means to go to a secret place. He was trying to get to a place where God wasn't. He was trying to get to a place where God couldn't see him. Oh, man, I'm trying to get to the place where God sees me. But Adam, because of his sin, he didn't realize. And so he tried to get to the place where God couldn't find him. He didn't understand that now he was dead. He was dead in his sins. See, I don't think we can grasp that, because we're dead in our sins before we come to see God. And he changes it. So we're on the exact opposite trajectory as that Adam was. Adam had it and then lost it. We don't have it. We're trying to get it. Amen? I hope you're trying to get it. I'm trying to get it. I want to be in that place where I can, as Hebrews says, I can go into the Holy of Holies. I can stand boldly before the throne of grace, and I can get touched with whatever I need to get touched with, because I know God. I can speak to God face to face. See, Adam experienced something when he allowed that sin to enter. In Genesis 6:17, well, I don't know where I was going there, but in Genesis 6:17, we talk about the flood and how everything was from Adam's time just started getting worse and worse and worse. And at the time of Noah, the word says that it was only in man's heart evil. We kind of look at our world today and we see kind of the same thing happening, don't we? And it's true, because the world is evil. Praise God for the church and for the saints, because we're the ones holding back evil. Amen? That ought to get a jump and a shout from you guys. But you see, the death that Adam experienced, he had never experienced anything dying in the garden. And he didn't understand. And it's not a physical death that God had told him. He said, when you eat from that tree, that day you will die. But Adam just couldn't comprehend it. Almost like us trying to comprehend God. A lot of times we can't comprehend what God's doing. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever gone before God, just looked up and said, God, what are you doing? Would you enlighten me? Because I don't understand what's going on. The disciples were the same way. They couldn't quite understand and grasp what Jesus was talking about most of the time. But the word in the Hebrew for die is the word gaveh, and it means to breathe out. Listen to this. To breathe out. That is, by implication, to expire, to die, to be dead, to give up the ghost to perish. Now that's a lot of words for one little word, but think about this. When God created Adam, what did he do? He breathed in of himself. When Adam sinned, he breathed out of the Spirit of God. And it was no longer part of him. And so it caused fear to come upon him. And he did like most of us do. He tried to hide himself from God. Anybody else ever been there? Try to hide from God, say, well, maybe if he doesn't see me, you know. But God knows where we're at. But he's asking us, where is your spiritual condition? Where are you spiritually at today? The same he was talking to Adam. Because he wants to be our friend. He wants to be talking to us face to face. He wants us to walk into his presence, not haughtily bold, but boldly knowing that he will accept us. Amen? Not with pride and haughtiness, but with humility, knowing I don't belong here, but because of what you did, now I can be here. God breathed into Adam when he fashioned him. Adam was something special. Adam is the only creature. Read Genesis carefully. He's the only creature that God didn't just speak into existence. He's the only part of the world, the universe, that God didn't just speak into existence. As I talk last week, I talked about how God scooped up the earth and he fashioned with his hand. He did something that was loving, something that was carefully planned. He created him out of his very hands. That is tremendous to me. See, God could have just spoke it, but he didn't. He took some time. And he loved on Adam as he was fashioning him. How many of you ever read the book Five Languages of Love? One of those languages of love is touch. God loved on Adam. God loved on Adam as he was fashioning him. And I can just see, you know, as he was doing that and how Adam, you know, was coming to form and God just changed this and changed that like a potter does a clay that he's put on the potter's wheel, that thing that goes around. One of the ladies that... restaurant. She's always teasing me because I was trying to order a English muffin, and I was going, you know, one of those things, and with jelly on it. And so she comes up every time I'm in there. Now, do you want them with them? You know, yeah, that's what I want. But God was lovingly fashioning Adam with his very hands. Can you imagine when you walk into God's presence? And God walks up to you and says, hey, friend. And he just grabs you and says, I love you. Because that's what he does. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be our friend. I'm going to take us to the book of John. I know most of us are familiar with this. But Gospel of John, 3rd chapter. And I'm going to read all of this. I know it's just a little bit of passage here, but I want you to hear what God is trying to tell us here. Starting at verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now, did you catch that? He was a ruler of the Jews. He's a smart guy in the law. He knew what was written. "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He doesn't want to be seen. He wants to be hid. Just like Adam did after he had sinned. He doesn't want people to know, especially his fellow Pharisees, right? Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Here was Nicodemus. He was such a smart man in the law, and he couldn't understand what Jesus was saying here. He was trying to look at it with a carnal mind. And what did we hear last week about the carnal mind? The carnal mind can't what? Understand the things of the Spirit. Because they're spiritually discerned. And this is where Nicodemus was. He couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell him. And so Jesus said, "Well, you've got to be born of water." That means come into life the natural way, right? How many of you know when you're in the womb, you're in water, you're in an embryonic sac that is full of water? Got to be born of the water, of the natural. But then you got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be born of the Spirit. And that's what Nicodemus was searching for. That's what Adam was searching for that he had lost. That's what we need to search for, is to be born of the Spirit. And then Jesus goes on in verse 6. He says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth or wants to, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and know not these things?" You see, sometimes we get so caught up in the learning process, we don't allow the spiritual process to take place. And so I don't make any apologies for what the Spirit does in our services. I make no apology. In fact, I welcome it. Because I know the Spirit can do more in half a second and 1/10 of a second, 1/100 of a second than I can do my entire lifetime. Than all of us can do put together in our entire lifetimes. The Spirit can do it that quick. He can change us and transform us that quick. Nicodemus didn't know these things. He couldn't conceive of the spiritual nature that Jesus was talking about. So Jesus goes on, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, We speak what we know. We testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you the earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, a lot of people say Jesus never revealed himself, you know, except to his, well, Jesus just revealed himself right here to Nicodemus. Did you get that? He just revealed who he was to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus couldn't understand it because there was sin in between God and him. There was sin that was blocking that pathway. There was sin that was blocking the concept. But Nicodemus was seeking. He'd heard God call, "Where are you?" And he was seeking. He was seeking the truth. That's why he came to Jesus. He said, "You know, I know you're a teacher. I know you're sent from God. Share with me the truth." He just didn't want anybody else to know he was there. Then Jesus goes on, he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," talking about his coming crucifixion, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Anybody in here a whosoever? I agree. I'm a whosoever. I may not be anything, but I'm a whosoever. Amen. I'm a whosoever because I believe in him. I'm a whosoever. I don't care who tells me that I have to have some kind of special spiritual calling to become a Christian. I know that he called whosoever, and I'm a whosoever, and I answered the call, and I've been born again. Amen. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. You see, we're still in a place where a lot of times we're afraid to ask Jesus for the healing that we need, for the salvation that we need, for the finances that we need. We're afraid to approach him. We're in the same place that Adam was. We hide ourselves from him. But God is calling all of us today, whether we've accepted him or not. Where are you? We have a need in our life. He's saying, "Where are you? Share it with me. Give me the opportunity to work on your behalf." But we act like Adam and like Nicodemus. We want to hide. Now, years ago, there was a song by Steve and Annie Chapman. And the words to it were, "My heart is like a house. One day I let my Savior in. And there were many rooms that we would visit now and then. But then one day," "one day he saw that door. But I said, 'The time's come too soon. I'm not ready yet for us to visit in that room.' Is there a place in your heart today that you're not ready for the Holy Spirit to come in and cleanse and change and transform for you? Because that's what he wants to do. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to shame you. If we're feeling shame, it's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us. If we're feeling shame, it's because the enemy has been talking to us and telling us we're worthless and we're no good. And God is saying, that's not true. I loved you so much that I sent Jesus to change that mess that you created. But so many times we want to block out the Holy Spirit in our hearts and say, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not there yet, so don't come in here. It's like inviting somebody to our house. And we real quickly, or maybe not even inviting someone, them just showing up. And all of a sudden we realize, oh, my house is dirty. So we shove everything into the closet and close the closet. And pray that they don't have a coat they want to hang up in the closet. But God is calling us, where are you? When you need something, where are you? Are you coming to me? But so often, we believe that God is going to condemn us. But I just want to let you know that God already knows all my dirty stuff inside. He already knows it. He knew before he asked Adam. But he still asked Adam. And he had to explain to Adam. Because Adam told God what all of a sudden what he knew. And God had to say, well, who told you? Who told you? Who told you you were dirty? Who's telling you you're dirty? Who's telling you you're worthless? It's not God, I can guarantee you that. He's saying, whosoever believes in me would not perish, but would receive everlasting life. The same thought to me today, and it restores to me each and every day. Because he loves me. He loves you. He loves every single one of us. And he loves us so much that he welcomed us by stretching out his arms on a cruel cross and allowing the Roman guards to drive those nails in his hands. He loves us that much. I think about what Christ has done for me, and it always causes me to weep because I know I didn't deserve it. But through him, I received it. Nothing that had to do with me. Nothing that had to do with me. It was all his work. But he's asking us today, where are we? Is there a place? Is there a situation? Is there a thing that you've tried to hold back from God? Is there something you've struggled with? God wants to take that all away today. It's not shame. If it's shame, it's from the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. It's not shame. But Satan doesn't want you to get released. Satan doesn't want you to feel the inner peace of a cleansed heart. He wants to keep that door closed and say, you can't deal with this. And the only part that's right is that I can't deal with it on my own. But Jesus can. Jesus can. Jesus wants to. He's made us a holy people. A holy people. Remember what the word holy means. Sanctified, separated, set apart for God's exclusive use. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I'd rather be the lowest person in the kingdom of heaven than the ruler in hell. Amen. That's just the love of the Father for me.